Merry Christmas to you all. So good to be here on Christmas Day, isn't it, with God's people? And this is such a wonderful passage to open up. And as we do that, for our kids, there are some worksheets that you might like to make use of that are up the back that Abby and Noah, can you hold those up for us? You can hold those up the back. There we go. Feel free to go now and grab some worksheets if you'd like that, if that would be helpful to help you think more about Christmas as the sermon goes. But as they do that, I wonder if you can remember a time of stunned surprise. Stunned surprise. Perhaps waking up and it being a sunny Christmas day was a bit surprising. Feels like a little while since we've had a glorious Christmas day. I wonder if you woke up and opened some presents this morning. Maybe your stunned surprise was an unpleasant one as you opened up a present that you just had to kind of smile about. I want to think today about stunned surprise in the best possible way. The best possible kind of surprise. Now, I watched a video recently of a man who'd been away for 3 months, so away from home. And he came home early to surprise his three-year-old daughter. And it was just amazing to see the astonished joy, mixture of like crying and laughter that this little girl had as her dad walked through the door. You know, she was shouting out, "My dad, my dad!" It was just the best video. If you can find it, it's so good. It was the best possible surprise for this girl, for her dad to come home early. Friends, Christmas is all about a stunning surprise. The best possible surprise. In Luke chapter 2, which we just heard read for us in the Bible, we hear a stunning announcement about what happened on that first Christmas. And it is stunning. And it brings joy, not only for those who heard it then, but for us today as well. So let's have a think about that stunning announcement. Starting from verse 8 in chapter 2. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Saviour was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, can you imagine being the shepherds for a moment? The shepherds staying out in their fields, watching their flocks, their sheep, minding their own business. All of a sudden, an angel of God appears, overwhelming glory and brightness shining around. It would be an astonishing thing, wouldn't it? It would be a stunning thing to witness. Scary even. Now, angels appear in the Bible only at times of great importance in the history of God's people. They're God's messengers. That's what the word angel means. It means messenger. So here's a messenger from God bringing an important announcement to the shepherds. And what is that announcement? Well, verse 10 there. "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Good news of great joy. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday about moments of joy. Moments of joy. We often have great moments of joy or euphoria in life, don't we? Moments. You know, think of the little girl, the return of her dad. A great moment of joy for her. Or maybe think of, if you're a student, think of maybe a surprisingly great result you got on exam recently. You weren't expecting. That's a moment of joy, isn't it? Perhaps even landing that job that you were really hoping for but didn't think you'd get. Or perhaps a wonderful day at Christmas time with family. Or perhaps the birth of your own child. Moments of great joy, moments of deep joy. But these moments, they tend to fade over time, don't they? And often, they're just relevant for us as well. They don't have any relevance for anyone else. They bring us joy, but for a fleeting moment. But the angel was announcing a different kind of joy. This wasn't just a moment of joy for the shepherds, not just a moment of joy for that time, but this would bring lasting joy for people in all times and places. And the angel tells us why in this verse, in verse 11. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Okay, so the announcement is about a child who was born. And this would bring great joy because of who the child is. So we're going to zoom in a little bit on this one verse, verse 11, and think through who this child is. He is a Savior. He's the Messiah and he's the Lord. So let's have a look at that first word. He's a Savior. This was the purpose of his birth. He came on a rescue mission. Now, when people think of Jesus today, they often think of him as a great moral teacher. Even people who are quite anti-church, and maybe that's even you here today, you've been dragged along, it's Christmas Day. Even people who are quite anti-church, oh, we're very glad you're here, by the way, might still be quite positive about Jesus himself, that he's a great moral teacher. They recognize that about him. I like Jesus, I just don't like the church, people often say. Now, he certainly was a great moral teacher, but that wasn't the purpose of his coming. Do you see what the purpose was? He came to save. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born. And notice who he came to save as well. A Savior was born for you. Who's he speaking to? The angel, who's he speaking to? Speaking to shepherds. Now, shepherding was a common job to have back in the ancient world. It was important in the sense that it needed to be done. But it wasn't important in the sense of being prestigious. Shepherd's work was tough and dirty and onerous and physically demanding. And so shepherds, they weren't rich or important. They were poor, often, lowly. The amazing news from the angel is that Jesus was born as a Savior to save people like that, the shepherds. And do you see what that means? It means that the announcement of a Savior isn't just for the important people, the wealthy. It's not for a certain class of people. It's good news for all people, even people like the shepherds, even though those in the lowest of professions. So Jesus was born as a Savior for people even like that. And Jesus is the Messiah. It's our second title we see there in verse 11. Jesus is the Messiah. And this title shows that this news of the Savior didn't just come out of nowhere. It wasn't a complete surprise. In fact, the birth of this child was the fulfillment of all the hopes of God's people from the Old Testament, their hopes and longings. You know, God had promised his people in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, hundreds of years previously, that a Messiah would come, a king would come, who'd bring in a new age where God would reign over his people and they'd no longer be oppressed by others like the Babylonians, like the Persians, like the Romans. They were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for a king to turn things around, to bring in a new age. And the Bible even says in Micah 5 that this ruler would come from Bethlehem, the city of David, the city where King David was born. That's who this little baby is, the angel says. He's the Messiah. He's the king. He's even born in the city of David, in Bethlehem, just as God had promised. He's the one you've been waiting for. He's the promised king. So he's the Savior. He's the Messiah. And finally, he's the Lord. Now, that's a word used to refer to God in the Old Testament. The Lord. Jesus, the Savior, he's the Messiah. But he's also the Lord. And friends, the stunning truth of Christmas is that Jesus this Savior and Messiah is not merely a human king, but he's the Lord himself, the Lord God himself, come in human flesh, come in human form. This is the miracle of Christmas. This is the stunning surprise of Christmas, that the Lord became one of us. God became man in order to save. But how are the shepherds going to know this, that the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord has come? Well, here we come to a surprising sign in verse 12. This will be the sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Here's how you'll know the Savior has come, shepherds. You'll actually see him in real life, a baby. And he'll be lying in the strangest of places. He'll be lying in a manger, in an animal feeding trough. Now that must have been a shocking thing to hear. The Messiah, the King of the whole world, lying in an animal feeding trough. Surely the Messiah would come in a more fitting way than that, in a royal palace maybe, with the streets filled with people celebrating his arrival. I wonder if you remember when Prince George was born to Kate and William, Will and Kate. Well, here's a photo of the crowd here outside Buckingham Palace when the baby was born. But, you know, they're not actually trying to see Prince George himself. They're just trying to see the paper announcement. That's, you can kind of see it in the background there. Little paper A4 announcement of the birth. Clamoring just to see this paper announcement of the birth of Prince George. That's the kind of fanfare that the Messiah should have had, surely. That he deserves more than that. But no, God's King would come in this humble way. In this most ordinary of ways. Born in an ordinary house in Bethlehem to an ordinary girl placed in an animal feeding trough with no adoring subjects to clamoring to visit, just a few ordinary poor shepherds. A seemingly insignificant, ordinary moment, a baby born in Bethlehem to a poor family, but one of earth-shattering significance. Now, the fact we're celebrating Jesus' birth 2,000 years later points to that significance, doesn't it? The fact that our thinking about history actually revolves around this Jesus, you know, our BC AD dating system, you know, revolves around him. It suggests he's pretty important. And the fact that so much of what we assume about life, about rights, you know, just the way we think about things in the West has just been so shaped by Jesus and his teachings and that of his followers, just shows the explosive and pervasive influence of this baby on our world and our culture. How could he have had such an influence? Well, it's all comes down to the astonishing peace that he came to bring, which we hear about in those final verses that were read, verses 13 to 14. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." I wonder what you would say is your most pressing need right now. Your most pressing need. I imagine many might think immediately of cost of living. We're right in that, aren't we? I saw an absolute travesty in the shops the other day. I saw Tim Tams on special for $3. Okay, they're on special for $3, and I thought, this can't be a very good special. They were half price. Tim Tams are $6 now. Can you believe that? Full price. I couldn't believe it. Now, while Tim Tams might be essential for me, I might think they're essential for me. They're not really, are they? They're trivial. But that does point to just how much prices have gone up across the board. And it is a lot more difficult now for many to make ends meet. And so maybe cost of living is what is making you feel anxious, even fearful of the future. Perhaps other things feel more pressing to you at the moment. Perhaps it's your health or your family's health. Maybe Christmas is laced with anxiety because you're waiting on test results to come back that haven't come back yet. Maybe you're feeling the pain of a relationship that is just in tatters, that you so desperately want restored. What about the most pressing needs of our world today? What would your colleagues or friends say is the most pressing needs in our world? Perhaps some would say tackling climate change is our greatest need. You know, years ago some might have said overpopulation is our greatest problem, but actually the data is telling us now that underpopulation might be our greatest problem going forward in the next 50 years or so with low birth rates across the world. Perhaps many would say war is our biggest problem. What we need is the fighting to stop. We need peace on earth. Well, that's what the angels proclaimed, didn't they? They proclaimed peace on earth. They announced the coming of a baby who would bring peace on earth. But this is a different kind of peace to perhaps what our friends and colleagues think is our most pressing need today. The peace this little baby would bring would be a peace between God and us, between God and humanity. There are many legitimate and pressing needs that we feel right now and that our world feels, might be on our hearts right now. But what's our deepest and most urgent need, according to the Bible, both personally and for our whole world? It's that we would be reconciled with the God who made us. Because we're not naturally on good terms with him. That's what the Bible tells us. That we are sinners who live life for ourselves rather than God. And deep down, if we're honest with ourselves, we know this. We know that we so often do things that we know we shouldn't do, that we think things we know we shouldn't think, that we say things we know we shouldn't say. The Bible calls this sin, and sin puts us in opposition to God. We're not on good terms with him, the Bible says, on our own. We don't honor him as he deserves. And because he's holy and perfect, he's rightly angry at sin, and our relationship with him is cut off. But that's what we were made for. We were made to enjoy him, to be in relationship with him, to know him, to live for him. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to be in relationship with the God who made us, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done to bring peace between us and God, to reconcile us. And friends, at Christmas, we celebrate that something has been done. That God himself, in his mercy, has acted to repair what we have broken. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. It's God himself who brings peace through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That little baby born on the first Christmas night. God himself has acted to bring peace. And perhaps this is the most stunning thing of all, that it's not us who have had to do anything in order to work our way back into God's good graces, good favor, but it's God himself who came to deal with our sin, to bear its cost in himself so that we could be forgiven and brought back into relationship with him. The offended party has come to reconcile us back to him. So have you experienced this peace? Well, if you have, you'll know the joy that the shepherds experienced on that night when they actually went to see the baby for themselves. They saw him, they saw everything just as they'd been told. And we hear in verse 20 that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, which were just as they'd been told. Well, may that be your joy today, if you know Jesus as your Lord. As you give and receive presents today, as you enjoy food, as you enjoy other people, perhaps as you enjoy a quiet day alone, May your heart be full, knowing the peace that God has brought in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. But if you haven't yet experienced this peace, the Apostle Peter tells us in Acts 2 how you can have it. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, anyone, even the shepherds, even you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's how we become part of that number who have peace with God, who have sin forgiven, who have eternal life in store. Call on the name of the Lord. Now that's amazing, isn't it? No trying harder, no turning over a new leaf. Call on the name of the Lord and you can have this peace too. Well, let me pray and thank God for that amazing truth, that stunning truth, so that we can enjoy it this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior, that he's the Messiah, the King, and that he is the Lord. Father, we pray that you might help all of us to turn to him this Christmas in trust, in faith, to call upon his name as the one who saves. Lord, thank you that you have acted to reconcile us to yourself through the birth of this little baby all those many years ago. And we pray that you'd help all of us to rejoice in that today. Whatever we're up to, whatever we're doing today, help us to rejoice in the truth that Jesus is born, that Jesus has come to save. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.